Hello, I'm Father Joe Roche of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for joining us as we continue with our year-long journey reading the diary of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska from beginning to end. Today we take up from where we left off, beginning with diary entry number 895. January 23, 1937. I did not feel like writing today. Then I heard a voice in my soul. My daughter, you do not live for yourself, but for souls. Write for their benefit. You know that my will as to your writing has been confirmed many times by your confessors. You know what is pleasing to me, and if you have any doubts about what I am saying, you also know whom you are to ask. I grant him light to pronounce judgment on my case. My eye watches over him. My daughter, you are to be like a child towards him, full of simplicity and candor. Put his judgment above all my demands. He will guide you according to my will. If he doesn't allow you to carry out my demands, be at peace. I will not judge you, but the matter will remain between me and him. You are to be obedient. January 25th, 1937. Today my soul is steeped in bitterness. O my Jesus, today everyone can add to my cup of bitterness. It makes no difference whether they be friend or foe. They can all inflict suffering on me. And you, O Jesus, are bound to give me strength and power in these difficult moments. O blessed host, support me and seal my lips against all murmuring and complaint. When I am silent, I know I shall be victorious. January 27th, 1937. I feel considerable improvement in my health. Jesus is bringing me from the gates of death to life, because there was so little left but for me to die. And lo, the Lord grants me the fullness of life. Although I am still to remain in the sanatorium, I am almost completely well. I see that the will of God has not yet been fulfilled in me, and that is why I must live. For I know that if I fulfill everything the Lord has planned for me in this world, he will not leave me in exile any longer, for heaven is my home. But before we go to our homeland, we must fulfill the will of God on earth. That is, trials and struggles must run their full course in us. O my Jesus, you are giving me back my health and life. Give me also strength for battle, because I am unable to do anything without you. Give me strength, for you can do all things. You see that I am a frail child, and what can I do? I know the full power of your mercy, and I trust that you will give me everything your feeble child needs. I have desired death so much. I do not know whether I shall ever again in my life experience such great longing for God. There have been times when I fell into a swoon for him. Oh, how ugly the earth when one knows heaven! I must do violence to myself in order to live. O will of God, you are my nourishment. Oh, how drab and full of misunderstandings is this life! My patience is exercised, and after it comes experience. I understand and learn many things each day, and see that I know very little, and I am constantly discovering faults in my conduct. Still, I am not discouraged by this, but thank God that he deigns to grant me his light, that I may know myself. There is a certain person, Stanislava Kwietniewska, who tests my patience. I must devote much time to her. When I talk with her, I feel that she is lying, and this continually. And because she tells me about things far away which I cannot verify, she is able to get away with the lie. But I am inwardly convinced that there is no truth in what she says. When it occurred to me once that I might be mistaken and that she might be telling the truth, I asked the Lord Jesus to give me the following sign. If she is really lying, let her admit to me herself that she has lied about any one of the things concerning which I am inwardly convinced that she is lying. And if she is telling the truth, let the Lord Jesus take this conviction away from me. A little later, she came to me again and said, Sister, I beg your forgiveness, but I have lied about such and such a thing. And I understood that the inner light concerning that person had not misled me. Here, St. Faustina writes of not wanting to write in her diary that day, but Jesus tells her that she does not live for herself, but for others. That is why the evil one tricked her into burning part of the diary. He didn't want us to gain spiritually, as we have been doing, through exploring this diary. So let us thank Jesus for inspiring it, and let us thank St. Faustina for writing it. Faustina unites her sufferings with Jesus, and she offers them for souls. Then Jesus improves her health. It is not the end of her life as she had thought. She has more to do. We see some contrast between our life here on earth and the one to come. As St. Paul writes, what eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. Because St. Faustina has already had a taste of heaven, it's hard for her to come back down to earth and live this life far from God. And Faustina writes of discovering her faults anew each day, but not growing discouraged, because God will help her overcome them with his grace. And then Faustina writes of being able to read someone's soul. Apparently this was one of their wards who she knew from the convent, who was now in this sanatorium along with St. Faustina. And inwardly, St. Faustina came to understand that this person was lying. But then she had some doubts, and in the end, God confirmed it. So this is a grace that some saints, especially confessors, like Padre Pio, received so that they could help people to come to conversion.